You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
All right. Ready to hear the words play ball, Jeff?
Man, I'm so ready you wouldn't believe it.
I think I am too. All right, let's hear a guy, or let's talk to a guy that is very close to that situation. Of course, he is on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. He is a super friend of the show. He is Brian Anderson. Hello, BA. How are you?
Hello, gentlemen. I'm good. Happy Valentine's Day. And I will also tell you that I'm not really as dialed in quite yet on spring training as you may think. I cannot believe that this off season is basically already over. It has absolutely flown by, and you know, it's so funny when that World Series, or excuse me, when the Super Bowl is over, it's like the eyes automatically turn, like, oh my gosh, pitchers and catchers are reporting, and that's where we are. I can't believe it. I cannot believe another season's here.
BA, take me behind the scenes though at spring training, because I like, there's a book I'm sure you've met him or run into him along the way, Dirk Hayhurst, who went to Kent State and wrote that book, The Bullpen Gospels, and he's got this whole thing about, like, when you're a minor leaguer and you're trying to push your way up to the bigs, about like the best thing you could ever do is get there early so you can get to a motel where you're going to be sharing the room with somebody else probably anyway, and if you can get one with a fridge, you're going to save yourself a ton of money because that way you can buy groceries and not have to go out. Like, what is life like as a minor leaguer and guys that are trying to grow their way up, like, during spring training? Because I think I always find it fascinating, the stories behind the baseball.
Well, and this is where I hate to disappoint you.
Oh, you're going to kill me. You're going to be like, oh, I went straight to the bigs. Life was good, and I didn't have a problem.
But that's what happened.
I know.
That was my experience.
I know.
I never went to a spring training as a minor leaguer. So I don't know anything about that. Literally don't know anything about it. So, you know, my first spring training, I got drafted in 1993, and it was early June that the draft was held. I signed at the end of July. They sent me to Tempe, Arizona to get into playing shape because I hadn't really done anything for a couple of months.
Right.
I was in Tempe for a couple of weeks, and they got me up to the point where I could throw a few innings, and they literally sent me to Double A. I went to Double A. I had two starts for Midland. They sent me to Vancouver, Triple A. I had two starts for Vancouver, and I was pitching in the big leagues by September. And you know, it was funny because the first time I came into a ball game, it was against Toronto. They were the defending World Series champions. It was in front of 50-some thousand people at Sky Dome back then. And I came in relief, and the first hitter I faced was Paul Molitor. So I'm reflecting on that, like, okay, a couple of months ago, I'm throwing my last game at Wright State in our conference tournament against Eastern Illinois, and 3 months later, I'm facing Paul Molitor and the defending champion Blue Jays.
That's like, insane.
How did that happen? And then the next year, I went to spring training as a big leaguer, and I got cut and sent to AAA the last week of spring.
Oh,
I went to AAA Vancouver, and we got snowed out the first 3 games. You know, I was supposed to start opening day. We got snowed out for 3 days, so I was busy. I was going to have an apartment with Andrew Lorraine, who was another left-hander in my draft class. or similar. Anyway, we were looking for an apartment, got an apartment, got it furnished, and then we finally show up on Saturday. The Major League season had started the previous weekend. Got to the field on Saturday, and I'm throwing the first game of a doubleheader. Mm-hmm. And I get there early because it's a day game. The manager calls me in, and he said, you know what, you are not going to be pitching today.
Like, oh.
And I'm looking at, I'm like, what are you talking? And he goes, no, you're pitching tomorrow in Milwaukee against the Brewers.
Mm.
Oh, wow. Okay. So I had to get connecting flights. Ended up getting stranded in Minneapolis.
Connection.
Missed the connection, and so was stranded in Minneapolis overnight. Had to fly out Sunday morning to get into Milwaukee, run to the stadium, and get dressed and go out and pitch a 1 o'clock game against the Brewers.
Did you ever pinch yourself though, Brian? That say, man, how lucky I am compared to some of these other guys that like.
Oh, you have no idea. Now I will tell you, there is a certain value of understanding the professional game, which I didn't know.
Right.
I went from Wright State University to the big leagues. I didn't know anything about how professional baseball worked, let alone minor leagues development. I mean, it was a blur, and I was in the big leagues. I didn't know how professional. I didn't know about tipping. Clubbies. I didn't know about anything. And it wasn't like the veterans on that Angel team were doing anything to help me. In fact, they were trying to do everything they could to make sure that I felt like absolute garbage because they didn't feel like I deserved to be there. And maybe I didn't, but it wasn't my call that I was there. They pulled me there.
No.
So now my job is to go out and compete. That's all I'm supposed to do. I can't control why I was there.
Brian, the way that college baseball has evolved, and you know, you see some big-time kids coming out like you were back in the day. Are you surprised? Should there be more guys who had the journey that you had, which is, you know, pretty quick to the majors? Or do you think it's where it should be? Because you still see every once in a while somebody, you know, really moves up in a hurry.
Yeah.
But most of the time they're going to the minors, and they're spending a year, two, three down there. Even guys who were, you know, longtime college players.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's an individual on an individual case basis. Can you handle the move up quickly? You know, think about Paul Skenes, how quickly he got there. Yeah, he's got overwhelming stuff, and he's a generational type talent if he can stay healthy. So guys like that are going to move up. I was advanced. You know, I didn't have the overwhelming stuff. My stuff was good enough, but I was advanced as a pitcher. So I could put together sequences, and I could change speeds, and I could do things that you needed to be successful in the upper minor leagues and in the big leagues. And that's why I moved up rather quickly. Not to mention the Angel organization back then we were not very good. So they were looking for all the help that they could muster. And so, you know, that was part of my journey. But I think it's, you know, some guys need the development. Some guys are uber talented, but they need refining. And so they're going to spend a little bit more time in the minor leagues. You know, sometimes there's organizations that feel like you need to prove it at every level. And, you know, maybe a top draft pick is going to get more opportunities than a lower round draft pick, but they want to see you put up numbers in single A and double A and triple A. Some organizations want you to have a certain number of at-bats before they consider taking you, you know, up to the big leagues. Or time in the field or innings pitched, whatever it may be. Every team is different. But at the end of the day, if you can play and you can prove it, you're going to move along rather quickly. That's what it's all about. It's survival of the fittest. And that's why, you know, I've always said, you know, I always thought, I should say, that getting to the big leagues was the greatest accomplishment. And it was a great accomplishment. Everybody that makes it to the big leagues should be proud of that. The greatest accomplishment is staying there. It's one thing to get there, and that's super, super hard. But staying there is even harder because now you're exposed and everybody knows what you do well, what you don't do so well, and they're coming for you. And so if you're not able to make adjustments on the fly at the highest level, you're not going to be in the big leagues for very long. Not to mention there's a draft every year where lots and lots of kids come into the professional game. Well, they're not creating new teams, so all the kids that come into the professional game through the draft, that number of players are leaving the professional game to open up spots for them. And that happens every single year. So when you talk about survival of the fittest, that's what it is. And, you know, so to be able to go out there and play at a high level for a very long time is, it's a wonderful accomplishment.
Brian, Bill Nye, the science guy, has predicted that the Guardians will win the World Series this year. What value do you think that is to the players? No, I'm just kidding. Although I'm not kidding.
So did my neighbor, Steve.
Oh, Steve says so too. I don't know.
Your jerk neighbor didn't teach me science.
See?
Hold on.
Okay.
First of all, I don't even trust Bill Nye on science stuff. So I really don't care what he has to say about baseball. Next.
Oh, man. I know. Now, I think it's interesting knowing you as long as I have that now that you're a part of the noise by being an analyst. But when you were in the game, you did everything you could to avoid the noise, right? And so when you're a team that hears that you're supposed to be in third place going into the season in the AL Central, how do you avoid that? Do you care? What do you think?
You can't avoid it. Especially nowadays, you know, with social media and everything is out there. You may have been able to avoid it a little bit more when I was playing. Mm-hmm. You're not going to be able to now. That's number one. Excuse me. Number two, you block it out. You have belief on the guys in your room. And that's just stuff that goes in one ear, out the other. If anything, maybe it motivates you. You know, I think that's what happened with the Rays back in 2008. Because I started that year in camp as a player, and it was the Yankees and the Red Sox, Yankees and the Red Sox. And the whole room in spring training for the Rays felt like, wait till the season starts. Nobody's counting, you know, everybody's counting us out. Actually, no one's even taking us seriously because we're the Rays, and we've been the Devil Rays, and we've been a doormat in the American League East. But that team, I could sense it from day one that they knew that they were going to make some noise and they were going to be a team to be reckoned with. And that's the way that the season started. We got into a fight with the Yankees in spring training. In fact, that was the game that I ended up blowing out and it ended my career. Hmm. I came in to pitch after we had brawled with the Yankees. At the beginning of that season, they brawled with the Red Sox at Fenway. That was Coco Crisp and James Shields with the throwdown on the mound. So they were serving notice to the big boys in the division. You're going to have to deal with us. And that was the year they got off to such a great start, and the entire, Major League Baseball in its entirety was just sitting, okay, when are the Rays going to fade? When are the Rays going to fade? When are the Rays going to fade? And I remember going into the All-Star break, the Rays that we had lost, like, because at that point I was on the coaching staff, and we had lost, like, I think maybe six in a row going into the All-Star break, and it was like, okay, here we go. Picked it right up coming out of the All-Star break, got off to another good start, and that team ended up going to the World Series. Lost to the Phillies, but that was what they accomplished. They were an afterthought when it came to, you know, predictions before the season started, but the room was like, these people don't know. They don't know what we have in here, and we're going to show them. Use it as motivation.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code STYLE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code STYLE. Enjoy!
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
The Guardians keep adding pitching and, you know, guys, it's like, well, that guy was interesting and I wonder if they can, you know, tweak him and blah, 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 blah. What is it that that organization and the Rays organization as well, but in particular the Guardians, what is it that they do so well with pitching, BA, that many teams don't? And Brian Anderson joining us.
They identify pitchers that maybe have a certain pitch or a certain arm angle or an assortment of pitches that they don't feel is being utilized properly. They just they know what they're looking for. They want unique styles. They want guys that have a special type of pitch. And then they build around that. And they do a great job of, number one, being able to identify it. They know what they're looking for. Where other teams, I think they're trying to find their way in that area. It's not really easy to do that. But they identify certain guys that may be inefficient, but boy, oh boy, this right here is a plus special pitch. And if we can get rid of the inefficiencies, build those up a little bit, and then start to highlight and accentuate the special pitch, we can make him a niche reliever, and he can become very valuable to us. And that's what they are better at doing than most every other team in baseball. And that's why they have the track record that they do. You're excited. I hear guys all the time coming into Tampa that are just so excited to be a part of Kyle Snyder's staff because they know, look at the track record. They turn all these guys around. They take guys that you've not really ever heard of, and they turn them into household names coming out of the pen, or at least household names when it comes to people that know Major League Baseball. So they're excited to come in because there's instant credibility, and they know that the organization knows what they're doing. And so, you know, you're going to continue to always want to add pitching because of injuries. You know, as much as they talk about workload and limiting pitches and all that, it has not helped in the injury department at all because guys are throwing max effort with max spin and max velocity and everything else. So those injuries are always going to be there and be a part of the game, especially now. And so the good teams realize we need to build depth. We need to build depth. We need to have an eye for talent and maybe overlook talent, but we need to have an eye for that. We need to know how to develop it, to refine it. And we know that we're going to need the bodies over 162-game schedule.
Brian Anderson, as always, thank you. Have an outstanding weekend. Enjoy your full team reporting there down in Tampa, too, as well. I know it's a big day.
Very, very good, boys. Have a wonderful Valentine's Day night and enjoy the Daytona 500 on Sunday.
There you go. Thank you, Brian.
Hey, sports fans. It's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby. If you enjoy football, and brotherly banter, be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys.
Here's some stories from my NFL playing days, goofy conversations about everyday life, giving you entertaining lessons on the pitches across the pond, fun, relatable guests, and what it means to live life on purpose.
New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday. Be sure to subscribe to Kicking It with the Crosbys on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.